Recording in progress.
I really haven't got anything prepared because I didn't know I was going to be standing up the front speaking, but I just felt prompted as I saw Akin hadn't turned up and I knew Graham wanted to get off down to Cornwall with Tamsin. And I just felt the Holy Spirit lead me to Ephesians chapter 1. And I just want to sort of share a few thoughts out of that because it's a very rich passage. It's a very rich chapter. And, a few times this morning in some of the prayers and some of the things Rosemary was just saying, there's been a question, who are we? Graham, can you just turn me down a little bit? Because there's an echo. And the thing that's been coming out is like us knowing fully who we are. And I guess that's a little bit what I want to talk about just for a few minutes, really. But in the whole of history, who was the only man that Satan was really frightened of? Jesus. The only man that's walked this earth that has really caused fear in Satan is Jesus. And there, Satan should be frightened of us too. Not because of who we are. Well, yeah, because of who we are, but because of where we are. See, in Paul's letters, over 80 times, in the whole of Paul's letters, 80 times, that's a lot. Paul uses two words to describe where we are. And they are very simple. They are in him, in Christ, in him. See, and if we really understood that, if we really understood that we are in him, then Satan will be frightened of us too. Because he's not seeing us, he's seeing Jesus, the one who we are in. Can I disagree with something you said, Rosemary? You talked about Satan being the tail that wags us. My dog has a tail, it's part of him. Satan is not part of us. He is outside of us. Yes, he attacks us. Yes, he challenges us, but he is not part of us because he is not part of Christ. Where we are. And we are in him. And that is such a huge revelation. The joy of that, it brings a whole new perspective to who we are and how we live. And yet there are challenges. Yes, there is sickness. Yes, there is pressure. Yes, there is unemployment. Yes, there is financial hardship. Yes, there is a cost of living crisis. Yes, there is all these things. And do you know what? The media makes them bigger than they really are. Sometimes I think we talk ourselves into problems because we feed ourselves on the wrong things because we forget that we are in Christ. He just happens to be the Son of God, right? And we are in him. And all I want to do this morning is very, very simply remind us of that huge fact that we are in him. And yes, we face pressure. Yes, we face challenges. Yes, we face difficulties. But the truth of our identity is that we are in him. And I am learning to believe, to really believe, that when Satan looks at me, he doesn't see little old me. with all my weaknesses and all my faults and all my failings, he sees Jesus. Because that's where I am. Now, I guess I didn't always believe that. You know, I guess I read it and my head kind of said that's true, but my heart didn't say it's true. And the journey we're all on is to take us into a deeper revelation and understanding in our hearts of that, that we are in him. And, you know, we can stand firm, not because of our own abilities or our own strengths or our own anything, but we can stand firm because we are in him. And when the challenges come, when the difficulties come, it's not us standing, but it's him standing. And we are in him. Ephesians chapter 1, Paul says, "Praise be to the God and Father of our Lord Jesus Christ, who has blessed us in the heavenly realms." He's blessed us in the heavenly realms with every spiritual blessing. Do you know, that sounds like a lot of spiritual blessing. If we individually wrote a list of all the blessings we could think of and put them together, that would be nowhere near every spiritual blessing. It would be just touching the edges of it. It would be just our little collective experience of the blessings of Christ. But Paul writes, we have been blessed in the heavenly realms with every spiritual blessing. And what I believe the Father wants us to do is to begin to receive more and more of those spiritual blessings. Because they're our inheritance. You know, they are part of who we are. Because if we're in Christ, all of those spiritual blessings are wrapped up in him. And so for us, this is a revelation. It's like seeing something that's always been there, and we say, yeah, this is really true. And we ought to get excited about it. Because every spiritual blessing is a lot of spiritual blessing. You know, we've been blessed with every spiritual blessing because he chose us before the creation of the world to be holy and blameless in his sight. Now, the reality is sometimes we don't feel very holy and blameless, do we? You know, we feel the pressure of things. We know our attitudes. We know our thoughts. We know the things we do wrong or half-hearted in. But yet, we are seen by the Father, because that's who it's talking about here. The Father chose us in Jesus before the creation of the world to be holy and blameless in the Father's sight. In love, he predestined us to receive the full rights of sonship. Now, most of your Bibles will say adoption there. Bad word. The original New International Version got it right. It said the full rights of sons. You see, adoption, in our understanding, means you didn't belong and somebody took you into their family and said, you now belong. But the thing is, we've always belonged to him. We've always belonged. In the Roman world, they had this ceremony. And it was when the child, it was a son in those days, but of course we know there's no male or female or whatever. But in those days, they would take a son when he became a grown-up, and the Romans would take this son, and the dad would say, "This is my son, whom I love, with him I am well pleased." Now, where have we heard that before? Jesus' baptism. In Jesus' baptism, the Father speaks from heaven and said, "You are my son. I love you and I'm proud of you." And that ceremony was, in the Roman world, was called huothesia, which is a lovely Greek word. But when they translated the Bible into Latin, they didn't have a word for it, so they brought in the word adoption, which has coloured our thinking ever since. Because adoption doesn't really describe it, you know. Because the Father said to his son, who'd been his son from all of eternity, he didn't take him from somewhere else and bring him into his family. He'd always been his son. He says, "Son, you are my son. I love you. I'm well pleased with you." And that's what's happening here. Okay. This is what's happening here. Paul is saying we were chosen from before the creation of the world, for the Father to say to each one of us, "You are my son, you are my daughter, I love you, and I'm proud of you." That's the Father's plan from before the creation of the world. It's like he said to Jesus, "Jesus, you're my son, I love you, I'm proud of you." He wants to say those words to each one of us. "John, you're my son. I love you. I'm proud of you. You know, Ray, you're my son. I love you. I'm proud of you. Winsome, you're my daughter. I love you. I'm proud of you. Iola, you're my daughter. I love you. I'm proud of you. Rosemary, you're my daughter. I love you. I'm proud of you. Barbara, you're my daughters. I love you. I'm proud of you. Denise, you're my daughter. I love you. I'm proud of you. Hillary, you're my daughter. I love you. I'm proud of you. Adrian, you're my son. I love you. I'm proud of you." See, from before the creation of the world, that was the Father's plan. Is that he would take us and reaffirm us as sons and daughters and say, "You are my children, I love you." He chose us to receive and to live in the full rights of sonship in accordance with his pleasure and will. I mean, isn't that good? His pleasure. You know, he didn't choose us because he had to. He didn't choose us because he thought he ought to. He chose us because he wanted to. His pleasure. To the praise of his glorious grace, which he has freely given in the one he loves. In him. Again, it's those words. In him. We have redemption. This is what he's done for us. He's redeemed us. You know, redemption means we were owned, but we got lost and he bought us back. You see, we've always been his, but he bought us back. He redeemed us through his blood, which we've just celebrated. We have the forgiveness of sins in accordance with the riches of God's grace that he lavished on us. You know, he lavished his riches upon us. He made known to us the mystery of his will, according to his good pleasure, which he purposed in Christ. See, these are amazing things. We've got the forgiveness of sins, we've got redemption, we've been brought back into the family because we've always belonged. And the Father wants to say that to us today. That whatever is going on in our lives, whatever challenges and struggles we are facing, the truth of who we are never changes. That we are in him. We are in him. And as far as he's concerned, that's what he's always wanted. Is for us to know that. And it's not dependent on our own goodness. It's not dependent on our own ability. It's not dependent on us doing things right or not doing things right. It's simply dependent on his word and his promises. That he's chosen us from before the creation of the world so that he could take each one of us and like Jesus, simply say, you are my son, you are my daughter, I love you. And all of this inheritance is ours. All of this inheritance that he talks about, that Paul goes through, that we were chosen. We were chosen according to the plan. We were the first, in order that we who were the first to put our hope in Christ might be for the praise of his glory. We've been included in Christ when we heard the message of truth, the gospel of salvation. And Paul gets to the point when he starts that wonderful prayer in Ephesians chapter 1. For this reason, because of all these things that he's just mentioned, for this reason, ever since I've heard about your faith, I've never stopped giving thanks for you. I keep asking that the God of our Lord Jesus Christ, the glorious Father, may give you a spirit of wisdom and revelation to know him better. And I pray that the eyes of your heart may be enlightened in order that you may know the hope to which he has called you, the riches of his glorious inheritance in his holy people. What a wonderful prayer. Paul says, all of these things are the Father's plan. From before the creation of the world, this is what he wanted. He wanted you to know, he wanted us to know that we are in him. And the impact of that will change everything. The experience of living in that will change everything. He says, I want you to know, I keep asking the God of our Lord Jesus Christ, the glorious Father, I want him to give you a spirit of wisdom and revelation, because this, the power of what it means to live in Christ, the experience of living in Christ, is something I think that has been hidden from us. It's been veiled. But it's like that veil is being torn in two, and Jesus and Paul is praying, Father, I want them to see this. I want them to have a spirit of wisdom and revelation so that they can really know who they are, that they are in Christ. And that changes everything. You see, this is, Paul says, yeah, you might know it in your heads, but I want you to know it in your hearts so that you can get to know him better. And I pray that the eyes of your heart will be enlightened so that you may know the hope to which he's called you. We have a tremendous hope, don't we? We have a tremendous hope. You know, our hope is not in our bank balance. It's not in our health. It's not in our jobs. It's not in our retirement plans. Our hope is in him. And we can so easily lose sight of that, particularly when we are being bombarded with so much rubbish, particularly when the media wants us to see things their way. We can lose sight of the truth that we are in him, that we are in Christ, and everything that is his is ours. Jesus says in that wonderful prayer in John chapter 17, in verse 24, Jesus says, Father, I want those that you have given me to be with me where I am, to see my glory, the glory you've given me because you loved me before the creation of the world. And Jesus' prayer for us in that Those final moments before he's taken to the cross. Jesus' prayer for us is that we would be with him where he is. Not only would we know that we are in him, but we would know that we are with him where he is. And John tells us at the beginning of his gospel that Jesus came from the bosom of the Father. The most intimate place. One translation said he had the closest relationship with the Father. He came from that place. He didn't actually leave that place. He lived his whole life on earth in that place. But he goes back to the bosom of the Father. And his prayer for us is that we would be with him where he is. And as Paul goes on to say in Ephesians chapter 2, that we would know that we are seated in heavenly places in Christ. Seated at the right hand of the Father. That's where Jesus is. Jesus is seated at the right hand of the Father. And if we are in him, which we are, then we too, our true location is at the right hand of the Father, because we are in him. The world would want to make us believe everything else. But the truth of who we are, the truth of where we are, is that we are in him. We are in him. And Paul prays that we would see that with the eyes of our heart, not with the understanding of our mind, but we would see it with the eyes of our heart, to know the truth of who we are. The thing that was coming out in the worship, in the prayers, was that we really would know who we are. And I think Paul gives us that clue there, that we've been chosen by the Father to be brought into that, this place. That word huothesia means son placing. You see, and we've been placed as sons and daughters, because that's our true identity. We've always belonged to him. But like the Father said to Jesus, you are my son. He takes each one of us and says, you are my son, you are my daughter. This is who you are. This has been my plan since before the creation of the world. And as sons and daughters, you are in my son, Jesus. You live in him. And all of the blessings of being in are ours. So, Father, thank you. Thank you. Thank you. Father, thank you. Let's just let that word thank you rise up from our hearts. Thank you, Father. Thank you, Father, that we are in your Son, Jesus. Thank you, Father, that we are in you. Because your Son Jesus is in you, and you are in him. Thank you, Father, that you've blessed us with every spiritual blessing. Father, we've only just touched a few of those. And Father, we want to live in the fullness and of more and more of those spiritual blessings, of healing, of freedom, of security. Father, for all of us, may we walk in that, in the freedom of good health. Father, we just pray for Barbara and just ask you to touch her with healing right now. That you would bless her with that blessing from heaven. For Rosemary, that you would bless her with that blessing from heaven. Father, for any others of us who need healing today, would you bless us with that blessing from heaven? Father, for those of us maybe struggling with different issues, different challenges, may we be blessed with freedom in those situations. Father, for Graham and Tamsin this week, as Tamsin goes to look after her mum, may she be blessed with all the spiritual blessings you want to pour into her heart and her mum's heart and her sister's heart this week. May there be a new level of freedom for Graham and Tamsin this week. And Father, may we never be frightened of Satan. May he become more and more frightened of us. Amen. 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 Amen.